I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Hey, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I want to drive.
You drive me crazy.
It's the question that drives us.
You drive me crazy.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
All right, everybody. 18 minutes left in today's trading session. Matt Miller once again eating nerds. Or something?
I'm not eating nerds.
What are you eating?
It's a healthy nut mix with, look at this.
To be followed by nerds.
That's a dried banana there. It doesn't get any healthier than dried banana chips.
Are there nerds around there anywhere?
Not here.
At your desk? Maybe. All right, let's get to it. We're watching the markets. Equities continue to march higher on this Thursday. A lot going on. Let's get to it, though, with Doug Cioka. So glad to have him back. CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners. They've got about $1 billion in assets under management. Back with us on Zoom from Leawood, Kansas. Doug, good to have you here. I'm assuming you're not eating any nerds.
I'm getting hungry, though.
For nerds or for... No, but let's talk about it. Hey, listen, let's ask about Jim Bullard. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there a thing for you, an importance of Jim Bullard stepping down?
You know, I mean, I was happy to see it, actually, Carol. And you know, I think just generally change is pretty positive. And I know technically there are, I guess, a term limit of 14 years, but it's a really long time. So I think having fresh perspective interwoven, even with more regularity, can't be bad. I also think, right, it's exceedingly difficult now to come up with something impactful and insightful to share with as often as these Fed governors and presidents are asked to speak. And I think sometimes there comes maybe a temptation to make grandiose statements or proclamations, even when there are none that are necessary. And I always felt like Bullard could not resist that temptation.
That was actually my takeaway as well when I first read the story and saw that he won't be agreeing to any more speaking engagements from today. I was like, phew. He also got into a little bit of trouble with that speaking engagements, right? Because he was getting paid for speaking engagements that were kind of private.
Yeah, I don't know the facts on that, Matt. But I know that with Powell as the president and elevating kind of communication, the public profile these Fed presidents, voting or non, it to me was almost counterproductive, right? When you are making policy by consensus, and I get the SEP and I get the mysterious anonymous dot plotting, but when you come out then and have comments and commentary that are inconsistent with like the policy vote, and then we got to wait for the minutes, I just feel like the rhetoric and kind of the court of public opinion which monetary policy has been deployed over the last several years, I just have found it to be counterproductive. And again, I kind of felt like Jim Bullard was one of the lead baton twirlers in that whole circus.
Let's put that aside and look at these markets, because over 4,500 on the S&P, and you know, we continue to, well, we're at session highs again here, up 1% after rallying every single day this week. What's good out there, Doug? I mean, why are we so bullish here?
Yeah, you know, right now, I mean, obviously tech keeps running, and it's kind of a combination of three things. I mean, number one, path of least resistance. Number two, FOMO. Number three, we're actually seeing like tangible amounts of retail money beginning to come into the market. And I think commonly people feel like there's a contrarian sell signal. Okay, here comes retail, time to get out. Maybe that's when retail is a little bit more fully invested, right? Retail creates kind of another wave of momentum in the direction kind of where the best opportunities have seen to really be identified. And momentum itself is a factor, right? I read something the other day I thought that was pretty fascinating, is that even when markets, right, with the expectation of identifying sort of oversold levels or under or overbought levels, even when the NASDAQ 100 historically has been 20% above its 200-day moving average, the 6 to 12 month return going forward is still about 20%. So I think maybe there's some of that's playing itself out, but certainly the momentum is extremely strong right now. We'll see what happens with earnings next week, right? To see if that's going to be an additional tailwind or if that's going to be an impediment to continuation.
Have you been buying banks ahead of it?
You know, we haven't been too aggressive, like in the financial side. You know, one of the things, in spite of kind of the calming down on the psychological concern about the viability of some of these banks, we really are really concerned about like the ongoing profitability, particularly of the regional and smaller banks, right? You have lower loan demand just because the economy is generally slowing. Number two, you have higher expenses because it's difficult to make that net interest margin when your cost of financing is going up just to be competitive with the prevailing money market rates. And number three, you're going to have more regulation. So it's difficult for us to ascertain where we are kind of in that profit cycle for the banks in general, Carol.
I was actually making a list of pros and cons for the banks, and I could only come up with cons. The slowdown in deal making, higher deposit costs, flighter deposits, higher regulatory costs, too much headcount, drop in loan asset values. I mean, I just can't think of a pro.
Yeah, pro is going to be consolidation, man. I mean, which maybe gets a little bit more on the speculative side of why you'd want to own one outside the operational value, maybe the book value and kind of the contributing value, the accretive capability to be folded into a large organization. I fear for like the smaller community bank, only because I feel what the Fed has done inadvertently or otherwise has made it a lot more difficult for them to survive independently.
And I guess some of it depends on the economic cycle too. I mean, banks are so way down, right, because of all the regional
banks. But it seems like the regulators want a consolidation wave in banks, right? I mean, there's over 4,000. Yeah. They seem to be pushing for that. And ironically, that could be a good thing for the big banks because their investment bankers could have some work to do.
That's true. And I mean, and they're looking for work to do right now. I mean, obviously, if you read what Goldman has said in the last couple of quarters and even in kind of the quasi pre-announcement, I mean, the deal flow is lower. And I think multiples are contracting. Cost of capital is higher. Generally, you know, global economic ambiguity is elevated. So you're not seeing a lot of deals that are just going to get rubber stamped and put through. They're going to require a whole lot of kind of heft in that whole banking lineup right now. So yeah, they could be to where corporate finance guys make an introduction to the M&A guys, they get a deal done and then they make a bigger bank. And then 12 years from now, they deconstruct that bank and the bankers get paid again. So maybe that's where we really need to be focusing.
Balanced portfolio, it's back.
It's back because, I mean, both sides of it, right, are making contributions. And we're spending a lot of time right now in kind of the structure of our fixed income portfolios. And, I mean, there's no question that yield curve is going to normalize. So we've seen kind of a little bit of an attempt to do so just this week. And we're of the mind that it's going to be a disproportionate adjustment with the front end coming down versus the back end going much higher. And this whole, we have a long way to go, going back to the Fed rhetoric, it's a bit bizarre in my opinion, right? I think the Fed needs to continue to relax. I don't think they're going to stand pat in July, but we have these known lags of monetary policy that are taking hold. And any time, right, historically, when the Fed funds rate has gone above CPI, the forward outlook 12 months for the bond market is extraordinarily strong. Mm-hmm. I don't see why that's going to be any different this time, right? I think the thing is, more than anything, just wrap your brain around buying bonds and longer dates with shorter yields than money markets. But you have to understand, like, despite the conventional wisdom, capital appreciation will make up for the yield difference.
Doug Scioca, be well. He is CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners, joining us on Zoom from Leawood, Kansas. This is Bloomberg Business Week.